The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
It is 7:48 on this Wednesday morning. You're watching or listening to OTBAM, and we are talking football next with Daniel Harris. But before that, have a listen to this. This is from last night's football show. Here's Dan McDonald.
So there's a big dose of Fergie about Klopp sometimes, isn't
Yeah.
He? He's like Fergie with a different setting. You know, it's like Fergie with a more, it's like, you know, let's push the dial to more upbeat, sort of jovial. But that's what makes him what he is. Like, he's a great manager. He's a terrible loser. Generally, you don't want a manager to be given the compliment as a good loser. You know, he's a very good loser. And he's exerting pressure in his own way. And, all managers do that to some degree. And, they will get their payoff, you know, or not, you know, depending on how effective that is. I mean, it's some do it with a smile, some do it.
Yeah, Dan McDonald on last night's football show talking about Jurgen Klopp, and a couple of comparisons there with Alex Ferguson. Delighted to welcome Daniel Harris to the show. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Hiya.
So Klopp, but with when he compares him to Alex Ferguson there, he says Fergie but upbeat. Is that an accurate representation in your view?
I don't think that Fergie would have got involved with a rival at this point in the way that Klopp did. I think I was quite surprised that Klopp decided to go at United right now, because they're not that much of a threat to Liverpool, really. I think that Fergie would have waited for things to get a bit more exciting before he got stuck in. And I think the difference is when Fergie spoke out about these things in the way that Klopp did, he did it with anger and fury and a bit more humour. And Klopp seemed to be doing it almost with suspicion and self-pity, which I found slightly odd. I mean, I think I know what he was doing. I think he's trying to put pressure on the referee to make sure that United don't get any penalties at Anfield in a couple of weeks. But Liverpool, at this point, I felt should be above United, really.
So when you see Solskjaer having a little bit of a nibble back yesterday, are you saying, go on, Ole? Or are you thinking to yourself, God, he should have also kept his powder dry for a little bit longer?
No, I mean, I think once someone starts, you've got to respond, because it looks weak not to. But also, United are chasing. United are the ones that need to get in Liverpool's head, not the other way around. Like, United need to try and put the pressure on Liverpool. Liverpool have won Champions League. They've walked away with the Premier League. There shouldn't really be that concern. That's how it seems to me. But ultimately, I don't really think that any of this is going to make any difference to anything that happens on the pitch.
That's interesting, right? Because Phil made the same point a little bit earlier on when he was talking about the Benitez facts rant. Phil's a Liverpool fan and made the point that ultimately Manchester United had a better team that year. But that's not really how we remember that. We don't really remember that Manchester United were we all do if you pair it back. But in the moment, when you think about Kevin Keegan losing it on TV, you think, well, that's a team that's in disarray. Like, he is this kind of physical embodiment of what's going on in the minds of his players. And likewise with Benitez, it was like, this somehow the fate has conspired against us to make this Manchester United team win the league, as opposed to cold light of day, more points per game, more goals scored, better defence, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm definitely drawn to the psychoanalysis of what's going on. But I think the point you made about Klopp biting this early is interesting. Like, there's something in that. Like, why is he biting? What does he feel about his team that he needs to provide a shield, or that he needs to get in the referees' heads, or that he needs to do it? Like, for some reason, this matters. And yet I also see the point that it doesn't have that much of an impact on the field.
But, I think Klopp is under pressure. And I think the reason he's under pressure is, and I mean, we don't know if he's going to buy someone, but otherwise the problems that are bothering him now at the back are not going to change this season. So I think that he probably thought that he would retain the league title, and he still probably will retain the league title because he still probably has the best team. But all of a sudden he's under pressure, and he's not under pressure from one team, he's under pressure from two teams. And his team have just failed to win against Newcastle, against Southampton, and against, can't remember who the other team was. West Brom, scoring one goal in those three games.
And Fulham two games before that.
Yeah, he's under a little bit of pressure for the first time in a while. And Klopp is always one of those characters, I think, who watching him over the last few years, you can see that he's some kind of genius, he's some kind of shaman, he's absolutely brilliant, but he operates on the edge. And I've been wondering for a while, for as long as really he's been in English football, how he would fare if he was given prime Fergie to cope with or prime Mourinho to cope with, not even in the footballing sense, but how they would have him mentally, because I think that they'd be poking him, because I think that they'd see someone they could poke. Whereas Fergie never really did it with Mourinho, because when Mourinho and Fergie were together, Mourinho had the better team for most of that time and Mourinho was bulletproof. You can see very clearly that Klopp and Guardiola are not that. And I was surprised that Klopp decided to call it on at this point, because it's not quite on at this point. And it looked more like he was the one feeling the pressure than he was the one applying the pressure. And you mentioned Benitez. And that was kind of similar, because when Benitez came up with that whole fax situation, it wasn't even something that anyone was talking about. United's penalties, okay, they're a kind of talking point at the moment. United seem to get a lot of penalties. Oh, yes, United get a lot of penalties, blah, blah, blah. And most of these analyses of United's penalties don't actually look at the penalties themselves. They tend to be these kind of general, well, that's how many they've got, that must be wrong, even though Leicester have got more this season. And even though United have only got, I think, one more penalty in the Premier League than Liverpool this season, it's become this talking point. But it's not become a talking point in terms of the league title chase, because Liverpool are top of the league and have been top of the league. And when Benitez called it on, Liverpool were top of the league. And Jamie Carragher said before that he was watching television and he just looked at it and thought, what are you doing? Because no one needed to say anything at that point. It's usually the kind of thing you might say when you're behind, when you're looking to find some kind of edge, because the edge that you require from your players that is not being supplied on the pitch. And that's what's going on at Liverpool at the moment. But they should really, I mean, Jurgen Klopp knows more about management than me, and he knows more about motivating footballers than I do. But the way I look at it is that he should be trying to concentrate on what his own players are doing. And I'm not saying that because I support United and like in the way that Fergie would say, oh, well, he should go concentrate on his own stuff. But drawing attention to that, to me, looked a sign of weakness at a point when Jurgen Klopp should be intimating strength.
So as a Manchester United fan, are you then saying this thing is really on? This is a real sign, as much as the league table is as well, a sign that this is a proper title race, or at least Liverpool think that we are contenders from a Manchester United perspective?
Well, I guess it's a title race at the moment. I mean, I can't help but watch United and wonder, because you look on the one hand, and on the plus side for United, they can score goals against anyone. And we've seen them go on a run. They finished last season with 10 wins and 4 draws. So they are capable of getting it done. We have absolutely no idea whether they're capable of getting it done under the pressure that you'd be in a title race. But for now, there is one, because they're almost half the season gone and they're there. We don't know how they're going to fare subsequently, but they are, as they somehow say, in a good moment. And Liverpool are not in a good moment. And I think that if United could get away from Anfield without getting beaten and win, say, the game before and the two games afterwards, then I think there is a good chance they'd have a lead. I think Liverpool need to go and buy a centre-back, but I've no idea whether the board will supply the money for that. If the board won't supply the money for that, then Liverpool do have a problem, because City look really good at the weekend as well.
Well, on that then, Manchester City tonight, it's obviously got this context of it around it being a huge game because of the one-legged nature of it all. That's usually we're used to these two-legged semi-finals. And I don't know what you think of the League Cup, Daniel, or the importance that you would place on it personally, but this has the feeling of a massive game around it tonight. This has the feeling that Manchester United and the significance of their season, a lot of it can actually rest on if they win tonight's game.
I don't know that so much will rest on it, but they do need to win a trophy. It's been a while since they won a trophy. Solskjaer could do with winning a trophy as well. And it's also a derby. So you want to win every derby, and you need to try and stop City getting to the final, and you need to continue the momentum. So there is a lot going on tonight. But I think that if United were to get beaten, then they've got Watford in the cup at the weekend. And by the time Burnley comes around in the league next week, followed by Liverpool, I think that if they've got beaten, no one will be thinking about this too much. But they could do with proving to themselves that they can win these kinds of games, because they lost to Sevilla, a game in the Europa League quarterfinal, the game they should have won. They were dreadful against Chelsea in the FA Cup final. And City was a bit of both. They were quite good at some points and quite dreadful at other points in the League Cup final last season. But of course, like, the more games you win, the better it is for everyone. And United do have momentum at the moment that, I mean, kind of came off partly off the back of Marcus Rashford's goal against Wolves, which it would be really easy to dress up as just a fluke, like it was a speculative shot at the end of the injury time of a difficult, tight game. Or you could look at it as one of United's two killers, Fernandes and Rashford, forcing something to happen. And he had sort of been hinting at forcing something to happen for the 10 to 15 minutes before that, and he managed to do it. And the more games you win, and the more you elevate in your own mind the fact that it happened because you forced it to happen. And the same thing that happened against Villa at the weekend, that they played really well in the first half against Villa and should really have finished the game. They didn't. Then Villa came back into it, and straight away United went back down the other end and managed to force themselves a penalty. And I mean, yeah, the discussion about whether that was a penalty to me was extremely bizarre. And as was the fact that no one even discussed the fact that Tyrone Mings elbowed Paul Pogba in the face in the penalty area and no one said anything. But the ability to find a way in adversity is something that is working really well for United at the moment. So obviously being Manchester City in a derby semi-final is something that will just keep that going. And they won't have the confidence that Liverpool have yet. They don't have, or Manchester City, they don't have the assurance that they're able to go into these big games and do whatever they need to do. So if they can force that to happen, then that will obviously make them feel better about themselves.
There is this sense that while Jurgen Klopp has targeted Manchester United this week, that Manchester City will kind of sneak through on the outside and run away or open up some sort of points gap on the rest if they manage to catch up with them in the Premier League. Do you subscribe to that we're seeing a resurgence from this Manchester City team that is akin to the peak of Pep's City team?
No. I think that Pep's great City team are finished. But I don't mean they're finished and that they're rubbish now. I mean that they're definitely not improving and they do need some refurbishment. But they've stopped conceding goals and they'll always score goals and they still have some great players. So that combination of stuff, I mean, it was enough to get Fergie over the line in 2011 and 2013 and almost in 2012 when his third great team were finished, but quite a lot of the players were still there. They were still good, but they weren't as good as they were, but they were good enough to win a couple of league titles. And it's possible that City could be good enough to do that. I'd want to see more than 90 minutes against a terrible Chelsea, and we'll learn more about them tonight than we did in that Chelsea game, because United are a better team than Chelsea and they're in better form than Chelsea. But no, it wouldn't be particularly surprising to see City come through the middle because they've got good players and maybe they have a better balance of attack, defence and belief than United and Liverpool do, because Liverpool have the belief and not the defence. And I think United don't quite have the defence or the belief, but they, as I said, they do have a lot of goals. And if they can carry on, the run that United produced at the end of last season will take them pretty close, I would say. And they're a better team now than they were then. But you look at it and you still find too many holes, probably. But this is a very strange season. And a team that can score as many goals as United can in any circumstances is a team that you should look at.
Can I just ask you about that City refurbishment? Because it feels as if they've got at least one top-quality centre-back who has bedded in and has improved the team. It seems as if they still have a good goalkeeper and, OK, they're still deciding which of the half a billion they've spent on fullbacks is the best two fullbacks that they should play. But apart from that, it seems like the team is actually getting better and is developing an identity which is slightly different from the great City team that won the league at a canter. If they could just find a Sergio Aguero replacement, or Aguero was to have an 18-month period where he was fit again, I could see that team going pretty close to the level that they were at in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aguero and Fernandinho in particular, them hitting their levels with the same level of consistency isn't going to happen. Like, they're old enough so that the injuries they keep getting, it's unusual that you would see players of their age suddenly stop getting injured all the time. And I mean, I actually watched an old game yesterday. I watched Man City Man United from the FA Cup in 2012 for a pod that I do. And United won the game, but Aguero was brilliant that day. And just looking at him, he just so much thinner, so much quicker, so much sharper. And that's not a criticism. It's just what happens. That Aguero is gone. Doesn't mean that the Aguero that there is now isn't good, but he's not reliable. So I wouldn't be thinking whether Aguero is suddenly going to play every game till the end of the season now, because I'll believe that when I see it. But it doesn't mean that City can't win the league. But the thing about City was always that sometimes it didn't matter how well the opposition played, because the opposition just couldn't play well. It was the same against with Barcelona. City had so much of the ball and they were so good at keeping it that if you only get 25-30% possession, then you're forced as an opposition team to make it count almost every time. And that's not possible. But this City team don't do that. This City team aren't going to have 80% of the possession and against a good team, and they're not going to be able to keep the ball away from their defence that way. Now, you're right, Ruben Dias looks a player and he's improved them a lot, but there's still ways of getting at City, because there's ways of getting at any team if you have good players and enough of the ball. And I think one of the things that seems to have changed in the Premier League over the last couple of seasons is the level of the teams from about 5th to 15th has gone up. Every team, like Everton, are much better than they were. Wolves are good. You don't want to play Wolves. Leeds can give you problems. I'm not going to name every team in the Premier League and your Wolves and your Aston Villas of this world and all the rest of it. But you know what I'm saying? Like Villa are a good team now. You don't want to go. Like, if you play Villa, that is a hard game, but particularly if Villa play well. It was United saw last week. So you can't just, I don't feel anymore like City are just going to steamroll everyone and go on a win of 16 straight wins, because the other teams, I think, are too good to let that happen, and City aren't good enough to force it to happen. So I don't think that we're going to see a City team that are going to be able to defend in the same way that Pep's great team defended, by just retaining possession. And the other teams are better. So it might be that United, Liverpool, City, between them, like one of them, all of them, have enough great attackers and enough options off the bench, which also really makes a difference, to be able to win the tight games that they're going to get involved in. But you are going to see more tight games. You're not going to see City scoring the number of goals that we've seen City scoring. And there are reasons beyond what I'm saying now as to why the points tally that's going to win the league this season isn't going to be 100 or anywhere near it. And coronavirus is also a factor there. But another factor is that the other teams are better, and I think Liverpool are an excellent team, obviously, but if I look at Liverpool over the last three seasons, the team that I least wanted to play was the team that won the Champions League and the team that came second in the league. Felt like they played better football, and more than that, they played well more often than Liverpool did last season. I've forgotten what the number is, but Liverpool won like a ridiculous number of games last season by one goal. Now, you can look at that and say that reflects very well indeed on their mentality, on their confidence, on their fortitude, on their ability to find a way to get it done. And it does. It's unbelievably impressive to be able to do that. But it's also not sustainable, because football is a random game. And things, and I say, when I say football is a random game, I actually probably don't mean football is a random game. Things don't happen at random. Things happen because you force them to happen. I say football is a chaotic game where one goal can be very important, and you generally don't get away with winning by one goal over a period. And I think what we're seeing with Liverpool is their best players now, Mane, Salah, Henderson, Van Dijk, even though, I mean, I know he's injured, but those guys, they're not getting better now. They're still really good, but at best they're plateauing, and they're at their physical peaks, and they're just coming over to the second side, the downward slope of their physical peaks. They're not improving. So what we're going to see from Liverpool is they can still have the bloody mindedness and the brilliance, but not as often to get it done. But I feel like this team peaked two seasons ago. And I'm not, again, saying this isn't still a really, really good team. It is. But like City, they're not improving. Whereas United, on the other hand, aren't at their peak yet. So they're climbing still. And I think next season, they're a team that, if they get their signings right, I'd be thinking, this is a team that maybe we could say are close to the favourites to win the league. But right now, they're the outsiders, because Liverpool and City are closer to their peaks and they know what it takes to get it done, and United don't know any of that.
I just want to finish up on a comment, Daniel. Nathan Shine has been in touch to say, can you ask Daniel Harris what impact playing in the Europa League every Thursday, Sunday will have on Manchester United's title challenge? Do they try to win everything or pick and choose?
Yeah, I mean, it has a horrific impact on my home life. I would say those Thursday, Sundays are not good. But I think it is a difficult one, because on the one hand, you want to go out and win everything, and United do have enough good players in some areas, but they will probably have to sacrifice at some point. So they have the League Cup tonight. They're now putting that away till April, and then if they keep getting home draws against teams in divisions below in the cup, that City have done brilliantly again those draws recently, then that gives them an opportunity to rest without necessarily having to rest in the Europa League. But they've got a difficult game in that one, so they could easily lose to Sociedad. So perhaps I would say I would reserve judgment on what I think is going to happen there until I see whether they get through the next round or not, because they might just go out in this round. But it might well get to a point where if they are in a serious title race and it does look like they might win the league, then it will mean that they are going to finish in the top four, so they don't need that aspect of the Europa. So you might start to rest in the Europa because they do have good enough players. So I would say ultimately with United, there are two players that in the big games they cannot afford to be without, Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes. It doesn't mean they don't have other good players able to do good stuff, but the two players who are reliable in those circumstances, in any circumstances, are those two. So if I'd say against Sociedad, I would probably think about resting Bruno and probably Rashford in one of those games. But otherwise, I think you wait until that is over and you see if they get through that round. And if they get through that round, by that point, you'll know whether they are seriously in the title race. And then you have to start thinking about that, because if they look like they might win the league, then I guess you would start to think about leaving out a player here and a player there in Europa.
And then just one other very quick one. Daniel, DJ Sonic has been in touch on YouTube to say, could you also please ask Daniel what he reckons regarding Eric Bailly's fitness? Can he form a consistent pairing at centre-back with Harry Maguire? So very quickly, is Bailly the centre-back United need?
He could be. And the thing about Bailly is that when they signed him, he was extremely young in terms of games played, like elite-level games played, much younger than his actual age. And injury robbed him of the opportunity to learn on the job, as he was going to have to do. And he's been running out of time now, because he's now an age where you can't still be learning. You just have to be good all the time. And he has been good all the time since coming back. And everyone knows who's watched him play that his top level and his raw materials are enough to make him a United defender. He's fast, he's strong, he's great on the ball. And Harry Maguire looks a lot better next to Bailly than he does next to Lindelof, because you can't really have two centre-backs that can't run. It just isn't sustainable. And Solskjaer absolutely knows that. He just hasn't found any of the others that he can trust. And ultimately, if you're a footballer or any kind of athlete and you're not fit, you're not of use to anyone. So the thing with Bailly is he's always liable to go off on an adventure and injure himself doing some kind of bizarre challenge or whatever it might be. But he has looked really, really good the last few weeks. And I think that is an element, actually, of the work that Solskjaer has done on the mentality of the team. Because you watch the team play now, and they're starting to trust each other. They're starting to believe in what they're doing. They're starting to look like a team that expects to win. And one of the things that evidences that you saw over all of the Fergie era of success is that you can bring players in, it makes a difference. If you remember after lockdown last year, Solskjaer basically played the same 11 and ran them into the ground over and over again, even when they were visibly exhausted and he was peeling them off the pitch at the end of games and wheeling them onto the pitch at the beginning of games, because he didn't trust any of the other players. Whereas now he's making 4 and 5 changes in every game because the mentality in the squad has changed. The squad expects to do stuff. You've got a few players in that squad, like Rashford and Fernandes in particular, who have killer instinct, who expect that this is the thing that they have to do. But then you see other players like Pogba and Martial, and Pogba's been really good recently as well, and the atmosphere around the team and around the squad is sweeping them up. And they're the players without that kind of mentality naturally, who the manager and the rest of the team have to kind of instill. And Bailly looks perhaps like another one of them, and his ability to come in and start performing at the level he's been performing reflects really well on him, but it also reflects really well on the atmosphere in the team, because that's one of those things. You see it with Klopp as well. You saw it with Fergie, the ability to bring players in who aren't your first choice players and get a tune out of them and do it continually is not just a reflection on the player themselves, but on how things feel around the club. So, I don't think we're at the point where we need to start performing acts of favour and gratitude on one another at what Bailly is up to, but it does look really promising. And if he is that guy, then he will save United a defender and he will make United a much better team.
Daniel Harris, enjoy the game tonight. Chat to you again soon.
You too, lads. Have a good day, everyone. Thanks very much.
Daniel Harris there on the line. And we put up an Instagram question for you today. You can follow us at Off The Ball on Instagram about who's going to win the league. It looks like it's going to be a Manchester City, Liverpool, Manchester United title race, according to all the responses. Owen Frayne says, Liverpool, form is temporary, class is permanent. Joe McGee says City. When they're balling, they're balling. Jim Gillivan says City. Alan says City. Aguero to come back and add more experience. Gary B says Manchester City are going quietly about their business. Mikey Murph says Manchester United. They have found their form and have been consistent. Sean Hall also goes with Manchester United. Callahan says Manchester United because of Bruno and Cavani. Yassin says City. Best defensive record and favourable fixtures ahead. Nagel B says Liverpool because they're the best team in the league, as is Craig Lynch and Dave Kiernan and Sean Fox and Stephen McGuinness. Thanks for getting in touch. Manchester United is their pick. It is 8:13 on this Wednesday morning, and so much yet to come on OTB AM.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.